Hello, and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast that gives you the why and the how for a better understanding of the world's top events. I'm Shane Bigham. In this edition, we take a look at the response from Chinese health authorities to the World Health Organization's plan for conducting a new study on tracing the origin of COVID-19 in China. A senior Chinese health official says he's shocked at the World Health Organization's suggested plan on the second phase of coronavirus origin tracing, saying the language it contains doesn't respect science. Wen Jie has more.
The second phase of the WHO's plan includes the hypothesis that China could have violated laboratory protocols and caused the virus to leak during research. Zheng Yixin, deputy head of the National Health Commission, says the plan shows disrespect for common sense and arrogance against science.
No staff in the Wuhan Institute of Virology were infected. No coronavirus gain of function study was conducted in the institute. No study of a man-made virus was conducted. Where has the laboratory leak theory come from?
There were media reports that three personnel from the Wuhan Institute of Virology were infected in November 2 years ago. Yuan Zhiming, a researcher from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, denied the reports.
It's totally a rumor. It's easy to find out. If only these media outlets could tell us the names of the infected people. But we haven't received any response.
Zheng Yixin added that the institute has never carried out a gain-of-function study of the virus. Earlier this month, 24 renowned international experts published a thesis in the Lancet Medical Journal, saying there is no scientific evidence to support the lab leak theory. Scientists from the US, UK, and Australia also pointed out on the data-sharing platform Zenodo in Europe that there is no evidence proving that the coronavirus came from the lab in Wuhan. Meanwhile, an international team convened by the WHO concluded earlier this year that the theory of a lab leak in Wuhan is extremely unlikely. Peter Ben Emmerich, head of WHO study in Wuhan.
The findings suggest that the laboratory incident hypothesis is extremely unlikely.
Zheng Yixin said that China respected the WHO's conclusion earlier this year and believes the study of a second phase should be based on the results of the first phase, with no repeated work.
We hope the World Health Organization approach origin tracing of COVID-19 as a science matter, free from political interference, and to facilitate the origin study in multiple countries and regions across the world.
Many research results have shown that coronavirus was discovered worldwide. By the end of 2019, traces of coronavirus were discovered in Italy, Brazil, the U.S., and France.
Wu Jiwei with Nanjing University shares his opinion on WHO's renewed effort, planning to conduct a new study on tracing the origin of COVID-19 in China.
This is definitely a stark contradiction to the earlier conclusions, which was very clearly indicating that the lab leaking theory is very unlikely. And in the March studies, they joined the studies, the expert conducted running comprehensive, thorough studies, and they were supported and helped by Chinese sides. And basically, they get access to all information they need. So this is, clearly driven by political reasons. And you can see the American influence is behind when the Biden administration come back to WHO and it became one of the major donors to the organizations. Apparently, over the course of this pandemic, the American administration's trying to create this lab leaking theory, and if you look at a few days ago in the Senate hearing, the exchange between Ron Paul and Dr. Tony Fauci, you can see clearly that some politician trying to create the lies and make people to believe. They're just trying to make the topic alive. I think this is unfortunate that they don't devote their resources into pandemic fighting. Instead, they're trying to smear China in the entire effort.
Australian microbiologist and infectious disease expert Dominic Dwyer, a member of the World Health Organization's scientific mission to China earlier this year, explains what the mission found and shares his view on the origin of COVID-19.
I think the most important point is that we don't know exactly what the origin of the virus is at this stage. These sorts of studies can be very difficult to do and may take many, many years, as we've seen with SARS back in 2003, and indeed with other viruses such as Ebola virus. We do know that there's a number of ideas or hypotheses about the origin of the virus, and I think one of the aims of the mission was to try and examine each of those and work out which were the most likely to lead to information if we did further research. And that has been part of the second phase of the WHO study. Whether it leaked from a laboratory? Well, laboratory leaks can occur accidentally, and we've seen a number of these around the world in many countries. Fortunately, this is uncommon, and there hasn't been any evidence to show that this has occurred with SARS-CoV-2. The other one is whether this was man-made or not. That's a slightly different question, and there isn't anything suggestive about SARS-CoV-2 that makes it look like a man-made virus. So I think that scenario is much less likely, and you'd really need further evidence to try and take it further.
A report published in The Guardian says the sources and intentions of Australian journalist Sherry Markson's reports hyping up the Wuhan lab leak hypothesis have been questioned by experts and media professionals. When Markson's initial report was published in 2020, ABC's Media Watch questioned its authenticity by citing experts who said there was no evidence that the novel coronavirus came from the lab. Professor Dominic Dwyer, the Australian medical virologist, says the Australian media is being caught up by political concerns instead of science. He was part of the World Health Organization investigation in January that found that a lab leak was unlikely and that the virus probably came to humans via bats or pangolins. With that, we end this edition of The Top Story, which gives you the why and the how for a stronger understanding of all the top events that occur in China and around the world. Subscribe to The Top Story podcast to gain a competitive advantage in preparing yourself for the news and events that are shaping our lives and our future. For more top stories and content, visit chinaplus.cri.cn and listen to The Beijing Hour online. Drop us a line on our podcast so we can provide you with even more content that interests you. I'm Shane Bigham. Thanks for listening.